price is high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in
Let's see, what else can we put in here? How about some tea bags?
Tea bag.
Nice tea bag. Any mushy banana peels?
Mushy banana peels.
Mushy banana peels, nice. Any shriveled celery?
No celery.
No celery, huh?
How about a moldy lemon?
Moldy lemon, perfect. Hi, my daughter Michaela and I are cooking up something rotten. It's one of our favorite recipes.
It's totally gross.
Totally gross. And it's almost done. Mika, we just need a few more ingredients.
I'm on it.
It's called compost. You toss in food scraps, old bread, coffee grounds, anything organic that you'd normally throw away. And when it rots, it turns into a type of soil that's great for your garden.
Ugh.
Well, that should do it. I think this is ready for the compost heap.
I'll take it.
Okay, thanks, Mika. Just because you can't use something the same way you did before doesn't mean you have to throw it out. If you look at old things in a new light, you might find a new purpose for it. And it could be one that you didn't expect. For instance, an old potato. Would you ever guess that this could be destined for greatness? Well, here's a story that gets to the root of that question. It's called Two Old Potatoes and Me.
Two Old Potatoes and Me. Words by John Coy. Pictures by Carolyn Fisher. Read by Jordan Purrier. Last spring, at my dad's house, I found two old potatoes in the back of the cupboard. They were so old, sprouts were growing from their eyes. Gross! I tossed them in the trash. Wait, Dad said. I think we can grow new potatoes with those. I'll call your grandpa. He'll know. After talking with Grandpa, Dad and I took the potatoes to the sunniest spot in the garden. We dug. We picked out rocks. We raked the soil smooth. Dad carefully cut the potatoes into 9 pieces with his jackknife. I made sure each piece had at least 1 yellow sprout. Dad dug 9 holes. I put a piece of potato, with the eye facing up, in each hole. Then, I covered them with dirt to make little hills. Dad got the hose, and I watered gently. In May, green plants poked up like caterpillars unfolding. We got down on our knees and picked weeds. We shoveled compost onto each hill. Won't that smother the plants? No, they'll grow through it. In June, the plants grew bigger. Violet flowers blossomed, and we added more compost. When we watered, I accidentally sprayed my dad with the hose. He laughed and sprayed me back. In August, some of the plants turned brown and withered. Are they dead? No, said Dad. The potatoes are growing underground. Are you sure? I hope so. That's what your grandpa said. We weeded, we watered, we waited. Now, on a cool September day, Dad and I sit on the bench in front of the garden. How's your bedroom at your mom's house coming? Dad asks. Good. Mom and I painted it periwinkle.
Periwinkle. I like that color. I bet it looks good.
You can see it on Friday when you pick me up. Okay. It will be Periwinkle Friday. We get up and walk to the garden. What's your favorite way to eat potatoes? Dad asks. Mashed, with lots of butter, and a sprinkle of nutmeg for good luck. That's my favorite too. Let's see what's under these hills. Dad gets the garden fork from the shed, and I carry the big bucket. Dad digs at the first hill. Nothing but dirt. He digs again. More dirt. After all that work, I say. Dad hands me the fork. You try. I dig deep. I lift the fork and see 7 golden shapes. Potatoes, I shout.
Look at those spuds.
1 potato, 2 potato, 3 potato, 4. 5 potato, 6 potato, 7 potato, more. Each hill has lots of potatoes. 51 potato, 52 potato, 53 potato, 54. 55 potato, 56 potato, 57 potato, more. I count 67, and our bucket is overflowing.
Ready to dig into the potatoes you grew?
Yeah, I'm hungry. All this from 2 old potatoes.
How cool that a whole new crop of potatoes could sprout from 2 old scraggly ones. It's a good thing that the girl and her dad didn't throw those potatoes away. All they needed was someone to recognize their value and give them another opportunity to flourish. Well, potatoes aren't the only veggies that can still pack a punch when they're done being lunch. Some very clever folks are rescuing other vegetables too and finding new ways to release their veggie power. Corn, America's number one crop. We grow 10 billion bushels a year. And it turns out there's gold in more than just its color. The same stuff you and I eat on the cob can be used to make plastic that's totally natural and safe for the environment. The corn is grown and harvested just as usual. The ears are separated from the stalks. And then all the little golden nuggets are stripped off, piled up, and gathered into huge containers. Hundreds, thousands, millions of kernels. The kernels are shipped to a huge factory where a high-tech process transforms them into plastic. This process is so brand new that only a few companies have the technology to do it. What happens inside these pipes is a closely guarded secret. No one is permitted to see the actual process, but we can all see the results. Corn is converted into a substance called PLA, which looks, acts, and feels like plastic. It can be formed into shimmery little pellets, which are easily packaged, sold, and sent to manufacturers all over the world. When the manufacturers heat the pellets, they melt into a liquid resin. The liquid is cooled into long, thin strands, which are then pressed into sheets of plastic. £35,000 of corn plastic can be processed an hour and turned into containers of all kinds. Glasses, cups, wrapping, utensils. The beauty of these corn products is that when we're done using them, we can compost them and return them back to the earth. And believe it or not, corn can even be refashioned into fashion, turned into fibers to make clothes. A world of products
all made from corn. Glasses to cups, utensils to containers, tablecloths, and cleanup cloths. So the next time you're looking at something made of plastic, you might want to find out if it used to be corn. It's corn. It's plastic. It's a veggie that can help save the world.
If cast-off corn can be turned into corn-tainers like these, then a scratched-up vinyl record album from the 70s can be remolded into a bowl. And some torn-up, ripped-up clothing like this can be restitched into high fashion, and a found hubcap can find its place as the face of a clock. If you're resourceful, you can transform almost any object into something new and different.
Some artists create delightful new objects from things other folks throw away.
This artist takes garbage. This is the top of a bottle, and he's turned it into a flower. We have quite a selection of them.
Ann Hettinger is an artist who owns a store called Gomi NYC that sells products made from recycled material.
When we had the idea to open this store, we've been looking for products that are made from other things. Here we have wallets that are made from inner tubes. I also designed some of the products in the store. This here is a bag that I've made using a recycled fabric made from plastic bottles. We get a lot of kids who come in here and they pull their parents in. They're like, Mom, Dad, this is the cool store that has all the recycled stuff. This is a pencil case that's made from pop tops. These are the little things that you pull off of cans when you open up your soda. Little geckos that are made out of soda cans. We have these fabulous chickens that have been crafted from plastic bags. There are these great clocks that we have that are made by a local artist, Michael Whitney. He finds objects around where he lives and turns them into useful objects. Here we have a clock, and you can kind of tell what this is from a car.
In New York, you walk in the streets a lot, so you see a lot of stuff. Everywhere I go, somebody's throwing something away somewhere. I always find stuff. I'm Michael Whitney, and I'm an artist. I make things out of things I find.
The stuff Michael Whitney finds on the street might end up as a clock on someone's wall or furniture in their home.
Well, I got this fan because it didn't work. I remake things. I reinvent them. I'm a reinventor. Get these wires out of my way. Snip them off. I take these wires off. Products that have worn out or broken or fallen apart or they've been given away, and I take the pieces I need, turn it into something else. I make it into a functional product. So in this case, I'm taking it apart so I can see what parts I have to work with, see what condition all the pieces are in, see what's left, see what's not damaged, see what still has finish on it. Sometimes these fan blades are, they've been on there so long, kind of tricky to get off. That's in good shape. It's not bent. The hole might be big enough for a motor. I like this fan blade. It's in decent shape. I'm going to need to clean it up quite a bit. I might even remove the green paint, but that's something we'll determine once we've cleaned it. Let's get this over here. In this case, we have, you know, a handful of scratches. Sometimes those scratches become part of the design, part of the, you know, the look of it. And sometimes they become, oh, you know what, I wish it wasn't so scratched. Let's clean it another level, take the paint off. This one's in pretty good shape. The actual fan blade's in excellent shape, but the paint is not in great shape. It's chipped and it's kind of coming off in a couple spots, and it's old. So now that I've got this all apart, I think the reality is it doesn't look necessarily worn in the way that I like to have things worn. So I choose to strip it with a paint stripper and get it down to the raw metal. and use that as the finish of the clock. Coat the painted areas with the stripper. Don't be shy with it. You can already see it starting to come off. See that? No problem to strip this one. I went to college for this. So that's in good shape. It'll be nice. It's gonna be nice. That's a great piece of metal. It's really in decent shape. You know, these scratches, we can buff out a little of this. Aluminum is a very soft metal, and it's easy to work. Coming into this room, because this is where I keep the motors and the parts and the things that I don't like to keep in the dusty shop. And I have washers. I have a collections of things that I need to accomplish these clocks. So I want to choose the motor that fits the blade that I'm using. And in this case, it's the shorter stem. Perfect. Next step is to pick hands. That'll work. Easier said than done. Bend these things so they go over the curve of the blade. Something like that. Tighten it down and the hands stay on. And that's it. We have a clock. Set it to 8. That's it. 8 o'clock. When I'm finished a piece, I like to see it in an environment. And a lot of times that's my environment because I make it on spec. I make it for myself and then I present it to a gallery or a store and hope that they'll have it for sale to the people. So I'll bring it home and I'll put it on the wall and live with it and hang with it. And, you know, it hangs on the wall and I get to watch it and see it and tell time from it.
If Michael's old fan can become a clock, then why can't an old record become a bowl?
Turn the machine on, this switch right here. Turns the heater on. Turn on the vacuum pump.
I'm Jeff Davis, and I recycle vinyl records, old record LPs, into products for the home. Bowls, coasters for drinks, we make clocks, and then we use the record album covers and we make sketchbooks. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been interested in taking things apart and putting them back together in new ways. I used to take my toys apart and put them back together to make new toys. And I guess I'm still doing that in a way. An idea for a project that I came up with in graduate school was to take old discarded materials and turn it into something new. And I think a cool thing too is that I did it in school because, you know, it's not the kind of thing you typically do in school. I got a very good grade. Records have a lot of meaning for people. The labels have the name of the band. So many people had record collections. There is a connection to the plastic, to the object itself. I take a record album, and the first thing I do is I put a plastic seal over the record label to make it waterproof so that when you put something into the bowl, it won't ruin the paper label. Also, I need to seal up the little hole that's in the middle of the record. I put it onto the machine. It goes inside those circular frames that hold the record in place. And then I slide those frames under an oven. And the oven heats up the record until it gets somewhat soft. When the plastic's under the heat, it feels kind of like a really strong trash bag. It's like soft plastic as opposed to rigid or hard plastic. And the mold rises up through the plastic, stretches the plastic, and makes a bowl shape. Some records are even see-through, and those work really nicely too. In fact, it's interesting to mold them because you can see the mold coming right through the plastic. There's a vacuum line coming up through that mold, just like a vacuum cleaner you'd use in your house. I turn on the vacuum, and the plastic is sucked tight, taking shape right onto the mold. And then the last thing I do is I take that air hose around and around. It cools the plastic back down again so that it's rigid. This is one of the bowls I made from the record albums. One of the interesting things about records is that there's music on both sides. So the grooves go around and around and around. You can hear them if I scratch it. So this was the front side of the album. And now what's the bottom of the bowl also has music on it because the discs are double-sided. So this is how I make my living, selling recycled record albums. Beats working for people.
Help me!
Whoa! Michaela, did all of this come from our garden?
I picked it myself.
Wow, our composting is really paying off.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I bet you're hungry from all that picking, huh?
Yeah.
How about we make your favorite dish?
Mashed potatoes!
You know what? We can use the recipe in this book.
Okay.
I think it's in the back there.
Okay, I'll find it.
Wow, isn't it amazing that all of this food was grown in soil that we made from compost? By recycling kitchen scraps and sending them back to the earth, we put them to good use again. Do you know what else you can recycle and put to good use again? A book. You read it once, you read it twice, and then you pass it on to someone else. So, here are three that are just ripe for the picking, but you don't have to take my word for it.
My name is Jack Urbanak. I am 8 years old. I read Westlandia. It's about this kid, Wesley. Wesley was different. He didn't have any friends because he didn't like pizza, didn't do the hairstyle, and he didn't really do the same things. And he wanted to make his own place. Then he thought, over summer, I could make something in the backyard with plants. This plant started to grow, and it kept on growing. He made a few things with the giant plant, like clothing, sunscreen, and the kids that didn't want to be his friends bought it. In the book, he made up different languages. Sounds kind of like yip, 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 yip. And he named his backyard city after himself, Westlandia. It's really a good book. You can find this book in a local bookstore in the kids section.
Hello, I am Nicola. I just read A Diary of a Worm by Doreen Cronin. In this book, a worm tells about his life. He tells about all his friends and how his family teaches him. The pictures in the book look just like cartoons. The book is very funny and it has a lot of jokes in it. Here's one. The worm tells his sister that you're always trying to make yourself look pretty, but whenever you look in the mirror, your head looks just the same as your tail. I thought that was pretty funny. Even though it's a silly book, it still has some facts about worms, and it shows the importance of worms keeping our world alive. You think that worms are disgusting and slimy, but sometimes they could be nice and cool. I really think you guys should read this. It's a really good book. I would give it 5 stars. I think I found one. There he is. But I better put the worm back where he belongs.
Hi, my name is Ava Araya. I'm 8 years old. I just read Pie in the Sky. It's about a boy and how he grows up with a cherry tree in his backyard and uses the cherries in the tree to make a pie. Birds are everywhere. They were eating the cherries and pecking at the branches all the time. The first half of the book, the cherries are taking their time growing on a tree. The second half of the book, they're in a pan sizzling in the oven. In the end of the book, they give you a recipe so that you can make your own cherry pie. It made me hungry just thinking about it. This is a book that I like to read on a sunny day. I read this book to my little sister. She's about 6 years old. I really recommend this book. Older kids, younger kids, and everyone can read it. Potatoes.
Potatoes. Right, here come the potatoes.
Milk.
Milk. Adding the milk.
And don't forget the butter.
The butter, right. Couple of pats of butter.
And last but not least, salt and nutmeg.
salt and nutmeg. Salt and a little salt and a pinch of nutmeg.
Masher?
Masher.
I'll mash.
No, I'll mash.
We'll both mash.
We'll both mash.
I mash first.
Go ahead. Okay, whew, that was hard work, huh?
Uh-huh.
How about a little refreshment? These smell delicious, Meg. And look at all of these potato peels. There's no way we're gonna throw these away. These are much too valuable. We've got big plans for these. So, the next time you're ready to toss something out because it's old or worn or can't be used the way it was before, give it a second look. And it might have a second life that will make yours better. Well, Meek, I think there's only one thing left to do.
What?
Next time.
Dad, don't talk with your mouth full. We'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Two Old Potatoes and Me by John Coy. Pictures by Carolyn Fisher, reproduced by arrangement with Random House Children's Books. Westlandia by Paul Fleischman, illustrated by Kevin Hawkes, published by Candlewick Press. Pie in the Sky, written and illustrated by Lois Ehlert, published by Harcourt Incorporated. Diary of a Worm by Doreen Cronin. Pictures by Harry Bliss, published by Joanna Cotler Books.